Hi there. I'm Paul Boger, host of KNPR State of Nevada. Enjoy this conversation from the show. If you like it, please follow us, and thanks. The Las Vegas Philharmonic ended its 2023-2024 season by saying farewell to its longtime music director, Donato Cabrera. This weekend, it ends its 2025-26 season by saying hello to its new one, Rei Hatoda. In 2 months, she'll officially be the first woman and Asian American to hold the position of music director for the Philharmonic. Besides conducting this weekend's finale, she's already put her stamp by shaping the upcoming season, which will feature performances by Ravel's Bolero, and the music of Japanese animation institution Studio Ghibli. KNPR's Mike Pravat sat down with Hatoda during her last visit to Las Vegas. Here's that conversation.
Rei Hatoda, welcome to Las Vegas and welcome to State of Nevada.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. What led you to seek out the music director position?
I think it was the musicians of the Las Vegas Philharmonic that led me to this position. They are an incredible group, versatile, and just so eager to make music together.
You have performed with them 11 years ago. You performed with them last year as well. I'm sure there were some different players, some, you know, also very much the same. What did you observe in both of their playing and maybe in their spirit that ultimately led you to the decision?
The orchestra 11 years ago was very different, but still, just again, that warmth and that vitality was there. But recently, last May, I conducted a program with them, and the incredible growth that I've heard in just that one concert together was just an inspiring moment. I'm really fascinated with Las Vegas. This is a very unique and special town. I don't think there's a place like this anywhere in the world. And to have a symphonic orchestra that represents Las Vegas, you know, I really wanted to be a part of this momentum.
I'm glad you said that. I wanted to ask you about the uniqueness of this city. You know, anyone knows that there's just a ton of entertainment options in the city. We also have a good handful of other symphony orchestras or other classical ensembles in town. I'm wondering, do you see any of that as a potential challenge?
Actually, no. I think I believe in the arts, that we collaborate together, when we grow together as a cultural institution. And I have to say the Las Vegas Philharmonic is a very special organization. It's a full-time professional organization, and it has a wonderful staff, wonderful board, led by Jerry Crawford. And I just think that this institution is very special and it's poised to make a mark in Las Vegas, but beyond. I'm here to make that happen and to lead this orchestra into a new era. And I know that Las Vegas is the mecca of entertainment. And this is what also drew me to the city, is that there is so much to offer here in the city. And not only the artists that come in, like Beyonce and Adele and all those wonderful artists in the pop world. But, you know, we get to work with them. And the orchestra has performed with Nas. And to have that sort of collaboration with classical and pop is something that I think is an exciting future in symphonic music, but also that we can play the pillars of the symphonic repertoire.
Yeah, I would say, you know, in all my years of paying attention to music in general here, you know, Las Vegas definitely has, the audiences definitely have a penchant towards what they recognize. And sometimes they can be a little hesitant with music that they don't. I know, for instance, a lot of the classical organizations in town, they'll play a lot of pops concerts. I'm wondering how you get audiences to be more curious. What is a way of getting them to be more interested in the things that are not always so readily available to them?
Wow, that's a great question, and so many facets to the answer to that. I think one of the things that I'd love to do is build the community around the orchestra. That means featuring local artists, featuring the musicians in the orchestra. I think that's an immediate draw for the community to celebrate their own. And next season, I'm very excited about sharing with you, we are going to feature our concertmaster, Diane Letourneau, and she will be featured as a soloist, as well as Preston, who is our timpanist. I don't know if you've seen him in the back of the orchestra, but he's a really brilliant young musician, and he will be featured as a soloist as well.
You know, of all the things that could define you as a music director, a conductor, and a pianist, you know, one of the more interesting things is your penchant for both conducting and playing piano simultaneously on stage. I think a lot of us have an image of the standard conductor furiously waving the baton in the air. You know, I've seen videos where there you are, just playing piano in front of the orchestra. And I'm wondering if you could describe what that's like to both play and concentrate on your performance as well as leading the rest of the musicians you're sharing the stage with.
Yes, it's multifaceted. It's like performing on steroids. I have a doctorate in piano performance from the University of Southern California, and it was after I got that doctorate that I got the conducting bug, so to speak. And so I like to marry my two disciplines together. And what better way than to do it with the orchestra, with the Las Vegas Philharmonic? And I appreciate the fact that everyone on stage is working so hard at their craft. It's a crazy brain thing that happens for me, and it takes a lot of work and preparation. And sometimes I think, why am I working so hard? But I love it, and I love sharing that with the audiences.
How often do you do that in a season? Do you necessarily do it during every time you conduct?
No, I would say once per season, if that. I like to make sure that I'm really focusing on conducting, which, you know, takes up so much of my time. So to practice and conduct it just eats up my whole life, and my family hates it, but it's okay. I love doing it.
You were mentioning the warmth and enthusiasm of the players of the Philharmonic. I'm wondering, is there anything that separates the Las Vegas Philharmonic members from other musicians and orchestras that you've worked with in other cities?
Absolutely. Absolutely. These musicians are so unique and special. I think that they're able to flip on a dime, to play with Nas and be completely engaged with that, and then play a Brahms symphony with so much integrity and power. It's incredible to see the flexibility of these musicians, and you don't see that in very many places.
Now, you're going to be busy with the Phil both behind the podium and offstage as well. You will have your eye on growing the audience and donor support. How have you done that in the past, and do you see where those strategies will work here in Las Vegas?
I think each city is unique in how they do that, and I have to be very sensitive to that, and I am. I'm very aware of what the city's like. I am the music director of the Fresno Philharmonic, and California in the Central Valley is very different from Las Vegas. And so I'm just getting to know the community. It's going to take me some time to get to know all the arts organizations and what other organizations we can collaborate with, because it could be non-art organizations too that we could partner with. And I think there's so many aspects to Las Vegas that it has so much to offer that we can start to explore those partnerships.
Education programming is also under your new set of duties. You know, Clark County School District has some great music educators, and they've won several accolades for that program. Generally speaking, music education, both here and across the country, not always the educational priority. Even in a town where musicians are helping fuel the economic engine, I'm wondering what you think might be done to further enrich Las Vegas youth and potentially develop that future generation of Philharmonic players.
I am so impressed with the music education here in Las Vegas and Clark County. I can't think of another city that has that strong of a program. And I'm really excited to explore all of that in my tenure here. And one of those things is the musicians in the orchestra teach in those schools. And having that connection through the Philharmonic immediately to these communities is a win-win for us. And I think that the musicians, again, with their enthusiasm and passion for teaching, is going to resonate in the programs that we develop. And these are things that we are thinking about, I am thinking about, but the collaboration efforts with the musicians in their communities is key. And we've had some wonderful meetings and wonderful ideas coming to fruition. So really excited to share that with you when they happen.
When you were chosen to lead the Fresno Philharmonic, you were its first Asian American and first woman music director, and you will have those distinctions at the Las Vegas Philharmonic as well. Your bio emphasizes your steadfast advocacy for marginalized and contemporary American voices, as well as your prioritization of inclusive orchestras and storytelling. I know that you emphasized and led cultural programming in Fresno. I'm wondering, how might you continue that mission of inclusivity here with the Phil?
Yes, it is a deep passion of mine. So I was born in Tokyo, and my family immigrated to the United States when I was 5 years old. I'm a U.S. citizen, but I see the melting pot of our country and how important that reflects in the arts, in our thinking, in our belief systems. And I think it's important to include all of that in what we present on stage. It's wonderful that we have Brahms and Beethoven and Bach, the pillars, again, of our orchestral repertoire. But I love bringing living composers to the forefront and marginalized composers. And, you know, that just influences our art form in such a different way into the 21st century of the symphonic repertoire. And so I love bringing living composers to the stage to tell us about the piece, to be the next Beethoven or Mozart of our time. And our May concert is just reflecting of that, in that we're featuring a local composer, African-American, fantastic musician, Kevin Day, in his piece Manhattan Nights. And I just think it's just a celebratory piece that, even though it's not Manhattan, but it has that flashiness of Vegas in the piece. And so I can't wait for the audiences to hear his music and to be introduced to him as a composer.
You know, we mentioned the young future members of the Philharmonic. We were talking about education. You know, they will have you to look up to as a role model. I'm wondering, did you have a role model or role models growing up who were also maybe from a marginalized community or were also steadfast in their commitment to inclusivity?
Yes, I think as a pianist, going to different universities all over the country, I've just really started relationships with composers. I'm just in awe of composers, first of all. I just don't know how they come up with music and just make it happen. And a lot of them were Asian, a lot of them were African American, and I have a very dear friend who's a Native American composer. And I just think, again, their culture, that their language, whoever it is, if they were growing up on the south side of Chicago and listened to blues and was influenced by blues music and all kinds of jazz, and I think the language that they're speaking through, you know, their background, whatever it may be, it informs what they write. And I find that fascinating. You know, I have wonderful mentor conductors. Maren Alsop was one that influenced my work as a conductor. She has a wonderful fellowship called the Taki Alsop Fellowship, which anyone out there who is wanting to be a conductor and who is a woman, apply for her fellowship, because she is a huge advocate of women conductors. And so she's just been an incredible mentor for me. Any artist that I meet doesn't have to be classical. I'm completely influenced by.
Tell me if this is a stretch, but I get the feeling that when you talk to younger musicians, people coming up through the ranks, it sounds like you might tell them, don't be afraid to tell your own stories through your work.
Absolutely. The more stories that are told, the better our society is. We have this medium, we have this platform to share our stories through music. And people can interpret music in so many different ways, right? You hear Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Is that fate knocking on the door? Or is that hope? Is that angst in your own life? Is it powerful? You know, is it visceral? I mean, I think music has that way to bridge these emotional things that people are feeling right now, and has the power to heal.
You mentioned the season finale. That'll be this Saturday, and we'll have more information on that concert at KNPR.org. You were talking about Kevin Day, the local composer. You will also be playing works by Mozart and Mussorgsky. I'm wondering if you might feel a little bit of additional pressure because you will be 2 months away from assuming full-time duties of the music director position. For a lot of the people in the audience, some of them have met you, some of them will not have. So do you feel a little bit of extra pressure?
Absolutely not. I feel very much at home in Las Vegas already, and I'm really looking forward to meeting everyone in the audience and sharing this incredible orchestra with all of you and the music that they can do and produce and perform. And I'm really looking forward to next season. We've got some blockbuster concerts that I'm hoping people will be very, very excited about.
As you were programming for this new upcoming season, how did you want to distinguish it from the previous ones, given that you were putting your mark on it?
Yes. So I felt like a kid in a candy store. You know, I get to pick this. I get to pick my M&Ms. I get to, you know, I think that next season will reflect so much of the incredible musicians. Again, I have to bring it back to the music and to the people who make the music on stage. It will really highlight them in a different way. You will hear the standards of the repertoire, but also we end next season with Bolero, Ravel's Bolero. And so you'll hear and notice some familiar music, but then again, featuring two local composers next season as well, Viet Quang, who's Vietnamese, and also Michael Torkey, just a legendary composer nationally. Who lives here in Las Vegas. So I'm very, very excited about this.
And earlier you said you were already very comfortable being here in Las Vegas. I got to ask, outside of music, what are you looking forward to doing here in Las Vegas that'll help you round out your residency here?
Well, thank you for asking that because I have two things in mind that I'm definitely going to be pursuing. One is hiking. And I'm just thrilled every morning I get to see these incredible mountain ranges. And so ready to explore that. And the food here in Las Vegas. I mean, I just can't wait to try all the different kinds of restaurants and all the different offerings that the cuisine here has to offer.
I think you're going to find a lot to like in both of those things here in Las Vegas, Ray. The Las Vegas Philharmonic performs its season finale this Saturday, May 9th, at Reynolds Hall at the Smith Center. I've been speaking with its new music director designate and conductor, Ray Hatoda, who will be leading the orchestra this weekend. And we'll have a link with more information about that show at knpr.org. Ray, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.